Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning and to talk about faith. I'm going to talk about hope. We talk about hope. Hope not. Hope when I talk about hope when we talk about faith this morning. Title my message this morning, By Faith. So if you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, I'll be reading verses 8 through 16, talking about the faith of Abraham and the faith of Sarah this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars in the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire it better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith. As Todd was sharing and preaching last week, talking about faith, a word kept coming to my mind was trust. These people that we call this kind of the Hall of Fame of faith, these chapters, chapter 11. And talking about these people, how they stepped out in faith, they stepped out in trust. And as I was contemplating that, what is faith? What really is faith? As I studied and thought about that this week, thinking about what all does faith mean, and you know, talk about this one. If we have enough faith, we look at that as if I have enough hope, if I hope enough. The faith of Abraham, the faith of Sarah, was rock solid. There was not any hope involved in it. So as I was looking at that, what are there? And there's three things that I believe are the main components of faith. And we'll see these and we'll look at these as we go through here. There are believe, trust, and act. Believing, trusting, and acting. And as we look at these men and women of faith, that's what they did. They believed, they trusted, and they acted. And as I was looking at the word faith, looking at the Greek word. What does it mean? It's persuasion. Now, I'll just give you the definition that the Bible, the Greek Bible gives, or Greek dictionary. Faith is persuasion that is moral conviction of religious truth or truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. It has the idea of constancy in such professional. It's something that we believe on and on. So putting it in my words, faith is persuaded or having a moral conviction of the truthfulness of God, with the idea that it is believed all the time in all circumstances of life. That is faith. Persuaded or having a moral conviction of the truthfulness of God, with the idea that it is believed all the time in all circumstances of faith. And we see that in these. Faith is believing what God tells us is true, trusting that it is true, and acting like it is true. In Scripture, faith is defined as the substance, or the confidence, or the base that holds it up of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith involves trusting in something you cannot explicitly prove. Faith is inseparable from trust. It's the confidence that God can and will do what he says in his word. Faith includes both intellectual assent, understanding with our mind, to something, and to trust in it. So we believe something to be true, and we also place our trust in it. We rely on it. Faith recognizes that a chair is designed to support the person who sits on it, and trust demonstrates the faith by actually sitting in the chair. And we see that with Abraham. We see that with all these heroes of the faith. Not only did they believe, but they acted on it. They were willing to sit in the chair and trust that the chair would hold. Faith without trust is not faith. Belief without reliance is empty. Many people believe certain facts about Jesus Christ, but knowing those facts to be true is not what the Bible means by faith. The biblical definition of faith requires trust, a commitment to the facts. Faith is more than believing with our head, and it also means believing with our heart, with our will. Faith in God means that we believe that God will do what he has said, and that we believe it so thoroughly that we're willing to fully act upon it. And that's what we see in all these heroes of the faith, that we're willing to fully act upon the belief that God would do what he said he would do. The other thing that I thought about tonight is faith. Or Matthew Henry brings this out. Faith has a retrospect and a prospect, he calls it. It's not only looking forward to what God is promising, but it's believing what he has done. It's not only looking forward to the end of the world, but back to the beginning of the world. Faith is believing the whole story. Not just believing that God will, but that God did. Many today would say that the only thing that matters is Christ. Don't worry about the past. Creation isn't that big of a deal. Hell isn't that big of a deal. It's about what Christ will do. And we would all agree with that. It is about what Christ has done and will do. But it's also all about what God has done. You see in Hebrews 3, the past. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Creation. By faith, we understand these things. By faith, if we don't believe these things, we do not have faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I was very thankful at our MEW this last weekend. We were talking about the foundational beliefs. And creation is one of those. The foundation. We have to believe in the foundation. We have to believe in the past. We have to believe that God is the creator. Someone has said this, by faith we understand much more of the formation of the world than ever could be understood by the naked eye of natural reason. And by faith, he means by believing what God said. By believing Genesis chapter 1, we understand much more about how the world was created than by anything we can see by our naked eye. We see that these worlds are not eternal. The world that we live in today is going to come to an end. The physical world, talking about the physical world that we live in. Nor did they produce themselves, but they were made by another. But the maker of the world is God. He is the maker of all things. And whoever is so must be God. That he made the world with great exactness. It was a framed work. In everything duly adapted and disposed to answer to its end and to express the perfections of the Creator. Everything was made with a purpose. Everything was made with a design. That God made the world by his word, that is, by his essential wisdom and eternal son, and by his active will saying, let it be done, and it was done. That the world was thus framed out of nothing, out of no pre-existent matter, contrary to the received maxim that out of nothing, nothing can be made, which though true of created power, which is true of man, can have no place with God, who can all things that are not if they are were, and commanded them into being. These things we understand by faith. We understand that by faith, by believing what God has told us. We're not believing in something, making something up. We're believing in what God has told us in His Word. The Bible gives us the truest and most exact account of the origin of all things. And we are to believe it, and not to rest or run or wrestle with or run down the scripture account of creation, because it does not suit with the fantastic hypothesis of our own, which has been in some learned but conceited men the first remarkable step towards infidelity, and has led to them many more steps away. And we look at that. We look at what a church is today. We look at where science is today. What nothing to do with creation. And if you don't start there, how can we believe the rest of it? So we start in the path. Faith is believing the whole story. Not just believing that God will, but that God did. So we looked at what God did. He created the world. Then we look at the future. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Look at that. But with faith, it is possible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. For he who has faith believes that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And as we look at the faith chapter here, we see it's filled with those people. Those people that believed what God had done and believed what God told them that He would do for them. So we see the faith of Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go off to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he obeyed. God called. We see that Genesis 12:1-2. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And then it says, Abraham moved. His faith. We see him hearing what God had said, we hear him seeing, trusting that it was true, and moving and acting. Genesis 12:4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Think about that. 75 years old. And he's moving away from his family. He's moving away from everything he knows. To the place he says he didn't know where he was going. But God said, I want you to go and I will be with you. And he believed him, trusted in him, and he went. Abraham's faith was revealed by his willingness to listen and to obey God. He put himself in the hand of God and said, wherever you take me, there I will go. I will trust you. I will believe what you told me. Abraham believed what God had promised. And one of the things that blessed me as I was studying this, and it's a blessing about the whole Bible, actually. Jesus is the only one that was perfect. And God's not afraid to share that other men of great faith were not perfect. And as we look at Abraham, as he's one of the greatest, we look at him as if you read the story, there are times that he maybe went his way or did it that way. You know, he came to Egypt. And this was pretty interesting to me. So again, he's 75 years old, which I think that means Sarah was about 65 years old. Yet she was so beautiful that he was afraid that the king would take her at 65 years old. She was a pretty good looking lady. He said, you just tell him you're my sister. Was it, he was such a man. He trusted God. See, he was human. He was human. So we don't look at Abraham as not being human. And we look at Sarah, as we look at her, she was very human. But they had faith. They believed. They believed what God told them. Not perfectly. But they trusted as a whole. They trusted and believed. And Abraham believed what God had promised him. In Genesis 12, 2 says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse you who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Genesis 13, verse 14, and the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see I will give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. At 75 years old, maybe a little older here, he told him, I will make your descendants more than the sand of the sea or the dust of the earth. Abraham had to be thinking, well, I'm 75 years old, Sarah's 65 years old. It's going to be pretty difficult. God wasn't ready yet. Genesis 15, 1-6, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So this is a little later from where he promised that. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Basically, a slave who was born in his house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. They said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. He believed the Lord, even though he did not have any children of his own. God told him, I will give you children more than there are stars. He says, by faith. Or then look at verse 15, verse 18. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land. So not only is he telling him, I'm going to give you all these descendants, but your descendants will have this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Canaanites, the Canaanites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Raphaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, wisdom. All that land I will give to your descendants. But yet he didn't have any yet. Didn't have any descendants yet. It was by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of him of the same promise. And as I never really thought about this until I was studying this. You know, Abraham didn't go into this country saying, God has given it to me, I'm going to take it. He didn't make war on the people that lived there. He didn't try to take the land away from them. He didn't try to kick them out. He didn't try to live in their cities. It says he dwelt in the tents. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. He lived as a foreigner in this land that he was promised would be his and his descendants, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, but lived among them as a stranger and a foreigner, willing to let God do the work in his own time. And remember what happened to Lot? Lot didn't do that. Lot moved into the city. Lot moved down into the plain. And he lost everything because he wanted to be part of the culture, part of the people. Abraham didn't do that. You let the Lord do it in his time. And not only that, it says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Even though Abraham expected and believed the promise about the possession of the promised land for his descendants, his faith looked beyond this for a permanent home in a future world. And we don't know, doesn't tell us, how Abraham knew about Jesus, how Abraham knew about heaven. We don't see that God sat Abraham down and told him, okay, there's going to be a time, you know, I'm going to send a Savior. But he didn't. He saw something. He saw a limit. Jesus himself tells us in John 8:56, when he's talking to the Pharisees, he said, "You don't know Abraham." He said, "Well, I do know Abraham. I am before Abraham was." He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and he was glad." So somehow, I don't know how, Abraham knew that there was a day coming, that there was a better reward, a better place to live than just this country that had been promised to him. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, as the idea of heaven. And then we get to Sarah. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength, conceived seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed. She believed what God had said. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead. So basically, as we look at this, there's no chance, humanly possible, of there being a baby, one baby, much less descendants as numerous as the stars and the sands of the seas. In this life, it was not humanly possible. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, for one man, and him as good as dead, because he was old, were born as many as the stars in the sky and the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And what's amazing, what I love about this verse, if you go back and read the story, Sarah didn't seem to have that kind of faith. If you read about this account in Genesis, and we know the story, you see that Sarah had her doubts and was impatient about how this would all take place. It would not seem like a person that would be in the hall of fame, of faith. You know, she knew, I'm sure she knew what God had promised Abraham. I will give you descendants. And there was nothing. There were no babies coming. So finally he said, "Well, you just take my maid as your wife." And maybe that's what the Lord meant. Maybe it wasn't through me. "You just take my maid and take her as a wife, and you have children through her, and that'll do what the Lord said. Then the Lord will have what the Lord said will be true." Well, if you read the story, that's not what God wanted. That's not what he told Abraham. That son is not going to be the heir. And then we see that she laughed when God said that she's going to be a child. She's going to have a child. But she was old. Look at Genesis 18:9-15. These men came to see Abraham, and they were from God. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold," and this is the man saying, or the Lord saying, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, you did laugh. God knows." All human probability was against any chance of Sarah and Abraham having children. Yet we see recorded here that she came to believe somewhere along the line that God was faithful and that he would do as he had promised. And for that, her faith is recorded for eternity. So we see again here not perfect people, but people that learn to trust, that put their trust and their faith in God, that believe what he said, trusted in what he said and acted upon what he said. And we see somebody said this. He said, God can make the barren soul fruitful as well as the barren womb. Not only did Sarah learn to trust, but he blessed her for it. And verse 13 says, these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. As I was studying this and thinking about this, you know, having all these promises and your time is here and you haven't received them yet. But they believed, they had faith, they trusted, even if they were gone, that God would still keep his word. Abraham left his family, his security to go where God asked him at 75 years old. God promised him children as uncountable as the dust of the earth and as numerous as the stars. Abraham never saw that promise. He saw descendants, but he didn't see him as innumerable or as the stars, as much as the sand. His descendants didn't possess the land when he died. He didn't see that. He didn't see that promise come to fruition, but he believed that it would. And we benefit from being on this side of it and knowing that it did. We have the benefit of that. He didn't have that benefit, but yet he believed. He had faith. He trusted. He believed, he trusted, and he acted on that. Sarah, even in her old age, believed that God would do what he said he would do, even though her first response was to lie. They died believing verse 6 of Hebrews 11. The positive of verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. They were faithful, so they pleased him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and they did. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and they believe that wholeheartedly. He with faith believes that God is, and that God rewards those who diligently seek him, would be another way of looking at that verse. You know, they had not yet been put in possession of Canaan. They had not seen the innumerable descendants. Yet it says they died in faith. They died believing that these things will come true. They were persuaded of the promises that they were true and should be fulfilled. We said this, faith sets to its seal that God is true and thereby settles and satisfies the soul. You know, when we truly trust God, it gives us a peace in our heart that we cannot explain any other way. And as we talked earlier, Abraham saw Christ's day when it was far off and rejoiced. And Father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And just like he says here, and they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Just like as a Christian today, we're resident aliens here. We're not to be part of this world. 1 Peter 2:11 says, Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Philippians 3:20, For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we so eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we strangers? Are we pilgrims in this land, just like Abraham and Sarah were back then? Verse 14, Looking for a better city. For those who say these things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire it better, that is a heavenly country. They did not look to go back. They did not hanker after the plenty and pleasures of their former place, nor regret and repent that they had left it. They had no desire to return to it. Those that are once effectually and savingly called out of sinful state, have no mind to return to it again, they now know better things in the same way. Unlike the Israelites, many years later, who wanted to go back to Egypt. Look at that one. Are you crazy? You want to go back to Egypt? Just because of some tough times, you want to go back to slavery? But that is not what happened. That's not where Abraham, Isaac, and even some of the Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, and other some of the other heroes of the faith, they went forward. Al Moore says this in his commentary on Hebrews. He said, by both their words and their actions, the patriarchs demonstrated that they were foreigners and resident aliens on the earth. Nothing prevented Abraham from going back to Haran. Nothing except faith in God's promise. The people of God don't look backward. They look forward because they are absolutely convinced God's promises are true. And they looked forward. Looked forward to a new place, a new heaven. A place where we have a new body. Talking about the patriarchs again. If they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. They had the time to do it. They had the natural strength to return. They knew the way. They had enough money to go. Instead, they focused on the promise of God and didn't look back. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to look at the promises of God, what God has promised us, and not look back on our sinful life? They steadfastly adhered to God and duty under all discouragements and against all temptations to revolt from Him. So should we all do. We shall not want opportunities to revolt from God, but we must show the truth of our faith and profession by a steady adherence to Him to the end of our days. Their sincerity appeared not only in not returning to their former country, but in desiring a better country that is a heavenly place. Therefore, it says, God was not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. God is not ashamed of those who are not ashamed of Him. And in closing, I just want to read what somebody put together about faith. I think he puts it well. It's actually a commentary on Mark 16:16 about he who believes, which is actually the word believes there. Has the idea of faith. This is the whole of faith. Man is a sinner. Remember, faith is believing what God said, trusting in what He said, and then acting upon it. This is the whole of faith. Man is a sinner. He should act on the belief of this truth and repent. There is a God. Man should believe it and fear and love Him and seek His favor. The Lord Jesus died to save him. To have faith in Him is to believe that this is true and to act accordingly. That is to trust Him, to rely on Him, to love Him, to feel that we have no merit, and to cast our all upon Him. There is a heaven and a hell. To believe this is to credit the account and act as if it were true. To seek the one and avoid the other. We are to die. To believe this is to act as if this were so. To be in readiness for it and expect it daily and hourly. Faith is feeling and acting as if there were a God, a Savior, a heaven, a hell. As if we were sinners and must die. As if we deserved eternal death and were in danger of it. And in view of all, casting our eternal interests on the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. To do this, that we're a sinner, we need a Savior, to believe it, to trust it, to act on it, that is faith. We're not necessarily called to a foreign country, some of us are, but we are called to believe what God has told us about Jesus and about Himself, and have faith in that, to trust in that, and to apply our lives like that. I love how He says here, man is a sinner. He should act on that belief. So many people don't believe they're sinners. But there is God. Man should believe it and fear and love it and seek His favor. Or Jesus died to save. These are all things that we need to believe and trust. And that is faith. That there is a heaven and hell. All these things we believe, we trust, because God has given us the answer. God has given us the hope that we need to seek for an eternal city. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for these heroes of faith. Lord, we thank you that you don't hide their humanness. Lord, but we thank you for writing about them and sharing their life with us. Lord, to help us to see the faith that they have. Lord, the trust that they have. Lord, help us to be like them. Lord, help us to trust. Help us to believe. Help us to trust. Lord, help us to act. Help us to be faithful. Pray this in Jesus' name.